Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Fellowship of Christians in the World. Chapter 5. Christ is the head that nurtures his church, and Christ is all and in all, individually and collectively. Colossians 3:11. In Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Colossians 1:18-20. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. An essential and fundamental condition for the functioning of the Lord's Church and the meetings or gatherings that its members seek to carry out lies in the fact that Christ is the head of his body and that to him belongs the primacy or preeminence over every Christian, as well as of their meetings, for the Heavenly Father has designated Christ to be all and in all who are associated with him. When people do not understand, begin to disrespect, or start to put aside the principle that Christ is the head of every Christian, but also of the collective and the meetings of people, all sorts of confusion may start to happen among Christians, which may lead them to incur in meetings that do not edify them, as Paul shows us in the following text. 1 Corinthians 1:4-13. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, or in him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Meetings of Christians begin to lose their beneficial character if Christ does not have exclusive preeminence over the people of his church, even when they come together. Without an understanding that Christ is the personal head of each individual member of his body, it is very unlikely that Christian meetings may benefit their participants. If the reader of this material has already accessed or still comes to access the subject about the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ already mentioned above, one will be able to remember or see in it the principle mentioned in the previous paragraphs more broadly, realizing that there are aspects which God has attributed exclusively to Christ and which no other person is called to try to use regarding the individual lives of others nor in their encounters with one another. One of the central revelations of the Lord Jesus to his church, and which was not part of the Old Covenant according to the law of Moses, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of each one of the members of his body, and yet, that each one, as a child of God, has personal, free, and direct access to him, without the need for any other mediator. It is not the purpose here to repeat the contents of the points already exposed in other subjects. So, at this moment, we only emphasize once more that the healthy life of the Church of Christ is entirely dependent on the principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only head of each one of the members of his body, but also of the collective actions of his body. Many groups that call themselves Christians like to emphasize the theme of Christian unity, but we emphasize here again that unity among Christians needs to go through the understanding that it cannot occur where people are not in the condition that Christ is their head, Lord, and King, for it is only through the Lordship of Christ in the lives of Christians that they can walk in truth and love that lead them to an appropriate unity of purpose and love, as also seen in previous chapters. Therefore, also regarding the unity of Christians, we may note that it, like the love between them, is not primarily in the relationship between them, but in that each one is united with the one head of the body of Christ. The love of God to love the saints and the sufficiency for true unity between Christians are in Christ, as the Lord Jesus shows us in his prayer to the Eternal Father on behalf of all who would come to believe in him. John 17, 20-25. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father! The world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Unfortunately, when it comes to fellowship between Christians, there are people who want to get all their food and spiritual discernment from the meetings or encounters with others, and not from the source of eternal life that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is neither appropriate nor possible to be accomplished, for it is not the vocation of the Church, nor its meetings, to grant its members what each of them should obtain through a personal relationship with their Lord and Savior. Christ is the head of each member of his body and of his body as a whole. And the Church, through its members, is not a substitute for the Lord Jesus and which supposedly could assume what the Heavenly Father exclusively assigned to Christ. Just as a person cannot be fed physically by what another person eats, so an individual who does not feed on Christ personally should not want to feed oneself through others of the food the Lord wants to give him or her directly. John 6:57-58. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. Therefore, fellowship between Christians or members of the Lord's Church is a form of cooperation or an addition to the personal fellowship that each Christian should already be cultivating individually with Christ. Fellowship between those who are the Church of Christ is intended to support and admonish one another that none of them should personally walk away from the Lord, and the continual fellowship with him also to be continually provided first by the Lord. Just as a father and a mother cannot feed themselves in the place of their children, no matter how much they love them and are close to them, so it is also in the relationship of Christians with each other. Christians may meet to witness how beneficial the life of fellowship with the Lord of the Church is and how continuity in this fellowship builds and strengthens them. However, substantially feeding on the Lord is a decision and action that every Christian, ultimately, will have to do oneself before or in the Lord. There are Christians who do not nurture a personal life of fellowship with God and the Word of God, and consequently, they also do not expose themselves to instruction on how to live and walk personally in Christ. So, when they meet with other Christians, they are debilitated and hungry for spiritual food and think that the other fellow believers are obligated or responsible for providing them with all their needs, not paying attention, however, to the fact that basically what the other Christians can do for them is to tell them about the source from which they feed and that they cannot feed themselves in the place of others. unlike what has been tried for centuries under the Old Covenant or priesthood such as Aaron's or similar, in the New Covenant of which Christ is the only mediator, every person who joins the New Covenant with the Lord is called to know God personally, as has been approached in the theme's letter or life, knowing about God or knowing God, the core or central principle of life for a Christian, the Gospel, the good news of God, and of which we recall the following text. Hebrews 8:10-11. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. First, the Christian life is a life in Christ or with God through Christ, and then with other Christians. And even if someone feeds on the Lord during an encounter with other Christians, it is worth emphasizing that also in this, it is from Christ that one becomes nourished, for Christ is also present among those who gather in his name. When Christians share gifts that the Lord grants them to share with others, the Christians are only messengers or carriers of the gift that God is sharing, and they are never the source of God's good and perfect gifts. In this way, it is from Christ, the head of his body, that the whole body is supplied, which is why remembering this principle is also a manner by which a Christian may encourage another to stand firm in the fellowship with the Lord. The Lord explicitly calls Christians not to allow anyone or anything to separate them from being supplied from the one who indeed grants the growth that comes from God. Colossians 2:18-19. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. The one who supplies each member of the Church of Christ is the head, whether the members are in their personal activities in their homes, in their professions, or whether they are gathered in the name of Christ. Who gives growth to a Christian is God. Christians, therefore, are called to speak the words of the Lord to one another to encourage or even to admonish one another about the crucial importance of believing in Christ and the Heavenly Father. But once they believe in the Lord, it is from the Lord that growth comes to their lives as children of God. 1 Corinthians 3:5-6. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There are Christians who have not yet experienced with understanding the personal provision of Christ for their lives, and so, others may instruct and encourage them in their faith to seek strength in the Lord, may show them the scriptures in which the Lord promises to attend those who seek him with faith, but always aiming for everyone to advance to feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. On the other hand, there are Christians who are uninformed, negligent, or lazy and are unwilling to be in fellowship with Christ directly. And yet, some of these even dare to attribute weight to the others, saying that they must provide them with food, trying to attribute condemnation to others concerning what they themselves are neglecting. Similarly, even though the Lord may come to count on Christians to share with others a prophecy, a word of knowledge, wisdom, or discernment of spirits, the instruction to apply in personal life what has been said is something that every Christian will need to be instructed in one's heart by the Lord through the Holy Spirit in the adequate moment in which one will need to practice what was shared with him or her. The fact that a member of the Lord's Church has the possibility of cooperating with God to speak a word to another, or to others, does not constitute one who spoke the word of the Lord as a guide for others in their daily lives when they will need to carry out what the Lord has said to them. Isaiah 48:17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Thus, personally seeking the presence of God is also working in the work of believing in Christ, as the Lord has directed us to do, for instance, in the following texts. John 6, 28-29. Then they said to him, "What shall we do, that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Colossians 3, 1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, or will manifest himself, then you also will appear, or be manifested, with him in glory. 1 Corinthians 11, 34. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, or does not want to work, neither shall he eat. Proverbs 20, 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter, he will beg during harvest and have nothing. We emphasize here only that the above text from Thessalonians, chapter 3, does not say that he who cannot work does not eat either, but he who does not want to work does not eat either. There are times of difficulties, struggles, and tiredness where a Christian needs more support from others, but unfortunately, there are many individuals who do not play their personal role and want to burden others, judging that the others are responsible for nurturing them spiritually. In the subject on the core principle of life for a Christian in the world, we mentioned that Christ told us that he is the true vine and that every Christian should abide in the vine, and not that the vine branches should seek to live dependent on other branches. Some people understand that the church is there to serve them, but they do not pay attention to the fact that if they indeed belong to Christ, they should also see themselves as the Lord's church and that, therefore, they are, primarily and equally, called to have personal fellowship with the Lord and to serve others who also belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Several times we find in the scriptures the expression one another. And one another is highly different from a few in relation to many others. Christ taught that he did not come to be served, but to serve. And similarly, he instructed his disciples to learn from him to serve one another and not for some to be the ones who always put themselves in a position who want to be served. The church in which people serve one another, for example, is not a place where a family goes to be served and to let their children in the care of others while the parents sit down to receive what they think others should pass them on. This is not the church according to Christ, for, to begin with, the church is not even a place. The mentality of going to a place to be served by a few who step forward is also a mentality of the law of Moses and Aaron, under which people paid tithes of their crops and the increase of their livestock so that others would offer their sacrifices to God and speak of God to them, but whose law was revoked by God because it was not according to the so better covenant that there is in Christ Jesus. In Christ, every Christian is called to serve one another for that which is useful in edifying the body of the Lord, that is, those who are members of the body of Christ. The effective working by which every part does its share, first by abiding personally in Christ and then serving one another, is a condition that cooperates for the growth of the body also as a whole. Ephesians 4, 15-16. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And if a person does not present oneself before the Lord or does not have fellowship with Christ to know what gift from heaven is bestowed on him or her, and how he or she can serve others by this gift, how may he or she serve others as a good steward of the manifold grace of God? 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The little or the no abiding of each Christian in Christ in one's personal life has undoubtedly been one of the central aspects of such a lack of love among those who should have a fellowship based on love, for since they do not approach the one from whom heavenly love comes, they also lack the relationship with the love of the Lord to be able to share it with others. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Thus, one of the principal collaborations that a Christian can give to other Christians is to continue presenting and declaring to them, in various ways, that faith and relationship with Christ is the Lord's primary source of supply for everyone who is thirsty and hungry for the novelty of life from God and His heavenly kingdom. And once the testimony that Christ is the primary source of the newness of eternal life is announced, it is also up to each individual to relate personally or have fellowship with the Lord indeed. John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 7:37-37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Nevertheless, how may a person who does not perform the practice of feeding on Christ witness to others about the benefits of this practice? If someone personally does not feed on the Lord, is not nourished by His love, and does not walk according to God's will, how may he or she speak appropriately to others about the way of truth and the newness of life in Christ? Before aiming for better meetings with other members of the Church of Christ, Christians, for instance, should also take steps of learning from the ants, as the following text shows us. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. A church, a group of people supposedly united in the same purpose, who think they have everything they need in the group or in the meetings, is an unqualified group before the Lord. It is a group that claims to act in Christ's name without feeding on Christ. It is a group that may come to think that it is rich in what people in this group have, without, however, sticking to the fact that the whole source of life does not come from themselves and that people dissociated from personal fellowship with Christ are subject to be compared to the wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Those who come together only claiming that they do it in the name of Christ, but do not do it around Christ and from living and walking daily in Christ, if they do not repent, are those that Christ said they are under the risk of being rejected so that they will no longer be declared as children of God before the Heavenly Father. Remembering here the text of Revelation 3, we may see that the essence that a person needs for eternal life and a life according to God's will is always first in Christ. And this is the proclamation that every Christian is called to make to one's neighbor, to one's brother or sister of the Church of God, through testimonies, words, songs, and teachings so that everyone is encouraged to personally remain united continually to the head of the whole Church of the Lord, namely once again, the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:15-20. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me.